Picture Alan Alda, the beloved face of MASH, sitting in a dentist's chair as the practitioner casually mentions some tethering before slicing into his mouth. Too intimidated to ask what that meant, Alda walked out with a severed maxillary labial frenum and a permanent droop where his trademark smile once lived. That botched procedure became his awakening. Communication isn't about words. It's about whether the person across from you actually understands what you're saying. This painful lesson launched decades of exploration that would eventually make his work required reading in medical schools nationwide. What Alda discovered goes far beyond avoiding medical mishaps. It reveals something profound about how humans connect, why we so often fail to understand each other, and what we can do about it. Real communication isn't passive listening while rehearsing your response. It's becoming so attuned to another person that their posture, breathing, and micro-expressions affect you. Most importantly, it means allowing yourself to be changed by what they're telling you. Alda learned this during his first interview about solar panels, making three catastrophic mistakes: pretending to understand concepts he didn't grasp, touching delicate equipment while the scientist's body language screamed discomfort, and asking pre-planned questions instead of building on actual answers. He was performing listening rather than doing it. Paul Sill's improvisation workshop changed everything. Games forced actors to respond genuinely rather than deliver rehearsed lines. Alda discovered responsive listening, letting someone's words land in you, shift something, and shape what emerges next. The mirroring exercise proves this. Stand face to face and mirror someone's movements. Most people start jerky and delayed. Alda's insight: if your partner can't mirror you smoothly, slow down. When both people move together without anyone directing, they achieve near instantaneous synchrony by reading subtle cues, shoulder tension, weak shifts, gaze direction. Scientists at Israel's Weizmann Institute confirmed experienced improvisers achieved more rapid, fluid movement during leaderless coordination. Stanford researchers discovered synchronous movement, even walking in step, dramatically increases trust, cooperation, and altruistic behavior. Your body knows what your mind forgets. We're wired for connection. Thomas Jefferson's dialogue between head and heart to Maria Causeway captured what neuroscience later confirmed. We process information through both rational thought and emotional response simultaneously. This peace treaty between emotion and reason forms the foundation of effective communication. Mirror neurons fire both when you perform an action and when you watch someone else do it. When you see someone reach for a glass, the same neurons activate as if you were reaching yourself. This neural mimicry explains how we predict intentions and understand others' experiences from the inside. Theory of mind develops around age 5 when children realize other people have different thoughts from their own. Before this, kids assume everyone knows what they know. A child hiding candy assumes everyone knows it's there. After developing theory of mind, they understand others have separate knowledge, essential for meaningful interaction. Psychiatrist Helen Reese revolutionized doctor-patient relationships when video footage with skin conductance monitors revealed massive anxiety spikes her composed patient never showed facially. Subtle leaks were there, hair tosses, sudden chortles, physical tells she'd overlooked. Once Reese learned to read these signals, she could respond to hidden emotions, ultimately helping her patient lose nearly 50 pounds. This ability to perceive what lies beneath transforms conversations from superficial exchange to genuine connection. After Alda's science show ended, he tested whether improvisation could help scientists communicate better. At USC, 20 engineering students presented their work, spent 3 hours playing improv games, then presented again. Students who'd been stiff and jargon-heavy suddenly made eye contact and spoke with genuine enthusiasm. Through games like creating imaginary sculptures together, these engineers discovered that communication is fundamentally collaborative. You must track whether people are following and adjust accordingly. The speaker bears responsibility for being understood. This success led to the Center for Communicating Science at Stony Brook University. senior scientist David Muller learned to discuss his work on the world's thinnest glass by emphasizing the accidental discovery and Guinness World Record rather than technical specifications. Media worldwide picked up his story, and venture capitalists came calling. Yuri Alon transformed his entire lab using improvisational principles. His team begins weekly meetings with 30 minutes of non-scientific conversation. This social connectedness dramatically improves motivation and collaboration, a stark contrast to labs where students struggle in isolation. The improv principle of yes and transformed Alon's scientific approach. When a frustrated student wished they could just make a diagram on a piece of paper, Alon responded, "Yes, and let's do it on a really huge piece of paper." This openness led to discovering that genes interact in just three basic patterns repeated throughout cells, simplifying what had seemed hopelessly complex. Matt Lerner found conventional social skills training failed teens on the autism spectrum. He developed improvisation games with actors, mirroring, tossing imaginary balls, reading body language. These exercises immediately engaged resistant teens. His program, Spotlight, now serves over 350 children annually in Boston, with documented improvements in empathy and social skills. Research confirms teams succeed based less on individual intelligence than on three factors: members' ability to participate freely, their empathy scores, and the presence of women. Anita Woolley's study of 697 volunteers found women's typically higher empathy ratings significantly contributed to team performance. The most effective groups aren't the smartest. They're the ones where everyone feels safe to contribute and members genuinely tune into each other. Don Hewitt, creator of 60 Minutes, had one rule: tell me a story. The show succeeded by transforming complex topics into narratives about specific individuals, particular spies, individual whistleblowers. This approach works because storytelling is embedded in human cognition from infancy. Researcher Karen Wynn showed 6-month-old babies geometric shapes acting out scenarios: a red disc struggling up a mountain, a yellow triangle pushing it down, a blue square helping it up. Babies consistently reached for the helpful shape, demonstrating that even infants interpret events through story structure. Princeton neuroscientist Yuri Hassan revealed why stories are so powerful. When someone watches a movie in an fMRI machine, then retells it while being scanned, the same brain areas activate. Most remarkably, when others merely listen to the recording, their brains activate in identical patterns, as though they were watching the original movie themselves. Stories literally couple our brains together. Memory researcher Jim McGaw explained why emotional stories stick. We remember events tied to strong feelings. Emotional events lodge permanently in memory through consolidation. What makes narratives compelling is what Aristotle identified: dramatic action, someone with both a goal and an obstacle. Communication isn't about formulas. It's about personal transformation and syncing with another person. When we move from opposition to understanding, our brains release dopamine, the same pleasure chemical triggered by reconciliation after conflict. Alda learned this from his 6-year-old grandson, Mateo. After the boy asked about a thorny tree, Alda launched into an evolution lecture. Mateo politely declared he wouldn't make that mistake again of asking Grandpa science questions. Despite good intentions, Alda had failed to read his audience, a child wanting a simple answer, not a biology lesson. Neuroscientist Yuri Ossin explains that effective communication relies on commonality. When people share similarities, their minds literally sync up in brain scans. Research by Thalia Goldstein and Ellen Winner found that acting training significantly increases empathy. Only theater produced these results, not music or visual arts. The impact is real. Patients of empathic doctors are 19% more likely to follow medical recommendations. Communication creates genuine connection through empathy, attention, and shared experience. When you notice that confused look, don't blame them. Slow down, pay attention, sync up. Take responsibility for being understood. Communication is a dance where both partners move together, neither leading, both fully present to each other's rhythm.